Sure. Yeah, okay.
My kids play tournament ball now.
Wait, do we have a quorum?
I can't read anymore.
Yeah.
The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will please come to order.
7:34.
In accordance, oh, there we go. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on March 4th, 2014, by faxing to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, Hunterdon Review, and Express Times, posting on the district website, the main bulletin board, in the administrative office, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, by faxing the clerk of the Clinton Township. Mrs. Spitzer, can you please take a roll call?
Ms. Grant?
Here.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Hand?
Here.
Mr. Malloy?
Here.
Mr. Frieda? Mr. McTiernan?
Present.
Mr. Petuto?
Here.
Mr. Sturgis? Mrs. Verderama?
Thank you. And no attorney.
Yes.
Mrs. Hand, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Malloy, would you please be the process guardian for this evening?
Certainly.
Thank you. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Clinton Township Board of Education meeting. Today is Monday, March 17th, and this is a special meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education. Before we go any further, I think it's very important to wish everyone a happy St. Patrick's Day. And for those of you that are here this evening, I would like to thank you for leaving any celebrations behind or delaying your celebrations to be here as we talk about the preliminary budget. Tonight, the Board of Education will vote on adopting the 2014-15 tentative proposed budget. And I'd like to take a moment just to summarize the process that the board has gone through that has permitted us to get to this point this evening. The Facilities and Finance Committee, along with Dr. Clark, Superintendent of Schools, and Mrs. Heather Spitzer, our Business Administrator, started working on the budget in the November-December timeframe. Other committees, like our Policy and Curriculum Committee and our Personnel Negotiations Committee, also met to talk about specific needs within their committee's area of responsibilities and provided feedback to Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer, and the Facilities and Finance Committee. The Facilities and Finance Committee met on numerous occasions to discuss various portions of the budget. Last week, on March 10th, Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer presented the preliminary budget to the full board. The board then asked Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer questions regarding the budget. Members of the public were provided an opportunity to speak to the board, ask questions, and make any comments regarding the budget. After questions by the board and the public, all members of the board were in favor of the proposed budget that was presented and did not ask for any changes. Basically, it was accepted the way it was presented without any objections by the board. Tonight, Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer will present the tentative proposed budget for the 2014-15 academic year. Board members will again be permitted to direct questions regarding the budget to Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer after their presentation is completed. Members of the public will have an opportunity to address the board with any questions or make any comments regarding the tentative proposed budget. The board will then vote on adopting the tentative proposed budget. I can't wait to say the final budget because that's a tongue twister. If the majority of the board votes to adopt the budget this evening, then Mrs. Spitzer will submit the preliminary budget to the Executive County Superintendent for his review and his approval. Once the Executive County Superintendent approves our preliminary budget, the board will vote on the final budget on April 28th, 2014. So that's a short summary of the budgeting process and how we got to where we are this evening and when the budgeting process will end on April 28th, 2014. There is one action item on tonight's agenda from our Facilities and Finance Committee. Mr. Malloy, our Chairperson of Facilities and Finance, will address that item with the board later in the meeting. And now I'd like to ask Dr. Clark and Mrs. Spitzer to present the proposed 2014-15 budget. Dr. Clark, Mrs. Spitzer.
Thank you. So let me begin by saying top of the evening to you. And I know you passed up some Guinness for tonight, so I can't serve it, but I can share some cookies. So I'd like to pass them around. Sure.
You cannot deserve it. I should be going first.
So, Mrs. Spitzer and I have presented this budget last week, and I see a lot of familiar faces in the audience, but I also see some new faces. So thank you for coming out tonight. I will do my best, as the board has challenged me, to do this in a more streamlined manner, which is not really possible for me, but I'm going to try. So you can start your clocks. So let me begin by just reviewing that the Clinton Township has what we started with was a zero-based budget. That means we wiped the slate clean from last year's budget and start anew. And to do that, what we do is we look at the needs and goals of the district. One of the first, of course, is student achievement. And if you remember, a few meetings back, the board set district goals. And one of those goals related to student achievement and a supportive environment for our students. We also are looking at safety and security. We're maintaining the community investment in our facilities. And I believe this budget, as does Mrs. Spitzer, and I think the rest of the board and the Finance and Facilities Committee, who's really presenting this evening, wanted to really be aware of maintaining our fiscal responsibility to the community. And to communicate this budget process as much as we could. There's been a number of articles in the Clinton Township newsletter about the whole process and answering some frequently asked questions. The first area I'm going to move to is the enrollment impact, because in this year's budget, the enrollment impact has been significant and has had a great deal to do with how we put this budget together. There is an overall trend of decreasing by approximately 95 students for this coming school year. Our out-of-district placements are stable. However, please be aware, there's no state cap on out-of-district tuition, and we get lower reimbursements from the state. We also talked some last week and before this about a question that comes up frequently, especially when you're looking at decreasing enrollment, and that is the consideration of closing the school. The board is very aware of our enrollment numbers decreasing. As they look at that, they're looking at demographic studies for the future. They're looking at different questions. So, for example, the question might not be, are we going to close the school, but are we going to repurpose it in some way for the future? And so the board is in that process. It takes a while. I will tell you that in order to even make a decision to either repurpose or close the school in any community, you must prove to the state that you won't need that school for more than 5 years out. So this is not something that you do quickly or easily. It's something that has to take a great deal of consideration, really looking at the numbers closely and what else you can do with that building in the community. Sometimes closing a school does not exactly save you money in the mothballing process. So you have to be very careful of how you do it and what you do. So the board is in that process. They're reviewing a lot of things and will be reviewing a lot of things before that kind of a decision is made for the future. We do have school choice in this district in Clinton Township. We have a total of 99 students across selected grades. Let me explain what selective grades means. It means that we do not just accept students in any grade level who apply. We look at our enrollment numbers. We look at our class sizes. We look at which grade levels have more students than other grade levels and where there might be gaps in some classes. The idea is that you use your school choice money to enhance the education of the Clinton Township students. If you just keep accepting school choice students without thinking the process through and not looking at where you're placing these students in different grades, then you're not going to be able to utilize that money effectively. You're just going to be hiring more teachers, which will not give you the advantage of the funding from school choice. So we're very, it's a delicate balance, but we're very careful about how we do that. It's very interesting to look at. When you look at the enrollment numbers and the trends, there are some grade levels that are decreasing and other grade levels that are not. For example, Patrick McGarren, grades 2 and 3, those grades are very steady right now. There's not a lot of change that we're seeing there. However, if you look at grade 8, that's changing a great deal. That was a class that was a very large class, that the incoming class is much smaller for grade 8. Grade 1 is a grade that is decreasing. All right, those numbers are really going down in grade 1. So we're very aware of that. But I will tell you that the board and the finance committee has been very careful to say they want to maintain the class sizes that we have and keep them below policy requirements and the state averages. So as we have to decrease some staff in this process because of the enrollment trends, we are not impacting our class sizes. So we're not raising class sizes and adding in there. Take a look at the budget highlights. That's hard for me to see.
It's on the handout, the green handout.
If you look at that green handout, you can see the budget highlights there. I'm just going to go through quickly. We looked at safety and security district-wide. You'll be seeing we received some ROD grants, that's regular operating district, state grants that pay for 40% of the actual cost of the projects that we are going to be doing. And one of the projects is going to be vestibules in a number of our buildings. They're safety and security vestibules. I say this because although we're not sharing a lot about the security measures, this is something you will see as it will change the look of the schools as it moves forward. And it will change how people enter our buildings. We're also looking at some parking lot repairs across the district. I'm sure if you've been over at Spruce Run Parking, you know that there are some issues over there. We tried to do this last year. We actually put in for these grants, and we did not get them. So we're going to have to do that work anyway, but we had to add some money from last year's money because we thought we could get the additional 40%, and we did not. So we're going to have to work on that. We're also replacing some exterior doors. And one of the big issues in this budget that we've worked very hard on in finance and facilities is at Patrick McGarrett. You may not be aware of this, but we do have a wastewater treatment plant. And because of that, it's in that little building that you notice in the parking lot, right off the parking lot there. This winter, the cold weather, has really taken an additional toll on it. And initially, we thought we could put in a small amount of funds, somewhere around $10,000 to $25,000, and do some repairs, and we would be in decent shape. However, we're hearing from the engineer that we really need a lot more than that. It's closer to between $50,000 to $75,000 that we had to add into the budget to make sure that we repair that. And if we don't repair it, if we let it sit, aside from the fact that we could wind up having a problem at the school for our students and our staff, another issue is that we would face some large DEP fines if that treatment center failed. So we don't want it to fail. We want to take care of it before it fails, and we've included that in this budget. You'll notice in curriculum and program, we have a number of items, and if you look at the M's and the C's next to them, it's related to either the C's or the core content standards that we've seen changes in over the last couple of years. And those are mandated because they have timelines attached to them. And the M is for mandated. You will notice that there are 19 mandated training programs that the state has put into effect. And 32 policies that impact reporting, training, and they keep telling us that they're going to cut them, but there's more coming. So when you look down this list of curriculum and program, most of them respond to those kinds of things. We need professional development for our staff. We have the teacher and principal evaluation systems, and that's not a one-time cost, by the way. Many of these costs that are mandated by the state and programs are ongoing costs. So they're not one year where you have an amount of money and you put it in and that's it. It goes on for years and years as long as that mandate is required. We have reading materials, all types of PARC materials. You know that PARC is the new name for the New Jersey MASS that's coming up next year. We're field testing it this year, and we've had a wonderful opportunity, mostly I'm saying a wonderful opportunity, to experience firsthand the issues revolving around the online testing for our students. And we've been preparing them and preparing our materials, our servers, our wireless, our access points, our hardware, our software, so that we can have everything we need. I will say that it's not technically an unfunded mandate. The state did give us $14,000 and change this year to update for PARC. I will tell you that just for the field test, we needed $30,000 of equipment just to do the field test so that we were prepared for that. And so $14,000 and change works out to about $11 per student who's taking the test. That might pay for the scratch paper and a few other things that they'll need. So it, technically it's funded, but not by very much. You can see math programs, texts, social studies materials, and so on all the way through. We are also adding an additional part-time basic skills instructor at Round Valley. We are going to take a part-time position that was there and increase it to full-time. So we're not actually adding another half-time position. We're increasing that part-time person to a full-time person. We're also adding an administrator. I had some numbers last week of how many evaluations the state is requiring us to do and how many hours that places nine administrators into doing. We did put in a waiver this year to try and get a waiver so that we could get an exception because we don't have enough administrators to do everything. And we thought we were going to get it, and I found out this week that it's highly unlikely that we'll get it. The director of curriculum and I are going to try to figure out something this week and create some magic, but we're struggling with it, frankly. We also are looking at a facilities position. We're really struggling with our four buildings and maintenance positions. So we're adding a position there, and we're adding an IEP reading instructor. That means that based on individual educational plans, we need to have an additional reading instructor who specializes in Orton Gillingham, Wilson, those kinds of programs. We are also adding a math coach for students at the middle school. If you've attended some of our previous meetings, we did an analysis of an eighth grade math support program that we put in a couple of years ago. And when we looked at that, we saw some success there, but in some unlikely places, not exactly where we thought we were going to see the success. And what we found out was that we needed to get some support in our lower grades in seventh grade and sixth grade, which is why you see the math coach, an additional math coach at the middle school, and increasing the basic skills math support at Round Valley. That's where those positions have come in based on some research that we did and discovered in the process. Okay. I'm going to introduce Mrs. Spitzer, who's going to just give you a kind of overview here of the budget in the last 3 years.
Thank you, Dr. Clark. What we did in this slide is just to give you an overview of where we've been successful in keeping our budget over the last 3 years. What this slide is doing is it's comparing the 14-15 proposed budget that the Board of Education will be voting on this evening to submit to the actual adopted budget for 12-13. The difference, now this was 3 years ago, the adopted budget. This year's budget is increasing over 12-13 numbers, $344,000, almost $345,000, which is about 1.32% of our total budget. In addition to being able to do that, during the 12-13 school year, we budgeted surplus of $650,000 for tax relief as well in that year. The next number is to compare this year's 14-15 total budget for the general fund to the 13-14 adopted budget. This budget for the 14-15 school year is increasing $149,001, or 0.57% total budget over the one we adopted and submitted last year. In addition to that, in the 13-14 school year, we were also successful in budgeting surplus of $254,631. That helped to reduce that budget as well. What we've done for the current school year, with all of the things that Dr. Clark has explained, we've mandated, as well as some other expenditures that we've had to look really, really closely at. We've been successful in presenting a budget this year of $26 million, $26.3 million. And in addition, we've also included in this budget a $200,000 anticipated surplus for tax relief as well for the 14-15 school year. So overall, over the last 3 years, we have a budget cap on our total tax levy of 2%. That's mandated by law. Anything above and beyond that is required to be voted on in November.
We not only have not even gone close to budgeting to cap, but we haven't even gone close to 2% in our total budget. So that's a real positive success for this Board of Education and what we've been able to do over the last few years as the dynamics within the district are changing.
I just wanted to repeat, that's 1.32% over the last three budget years. That's the total percent increase.
This is a quick overview of what the tax impact will be in Clinton Township for the Clinton Township School District piece of your tax bill. I'll repeat for you one more time. I know we've talked about this in several previous presentations, but if you remember in previous presentations, I had that real pretty pie chart, and I broke out how much tax is coming from what part on your tax bill. It's broken out for North Hunterdon taxes. It's broken out for Clinton Township school taxes. There's a piece for municipal, a piece for county. The Clinton Township school tax is about 47% of your tax bill. And what this means for you, it's going up 0.33% year over year. The average assessed value for 2014 in Clinton Township is $394,000. If your home is assessed at that exact number, your taxes, the 47% piece of your bill for Clinton Township School will go up $14.98 for the year. If you want to drill down a little bit further and calculate if your house is worth $100,000, for every $100,000 of value, your tax will increase $3.79 per year per $100,000. I will talk a little bit further on how we came to these numbers later on in the presentation, but I just kind of wanted to balance it out for you real quick snapshot of what we've been successful in doing over the last 3 years and what it means to you in taxes. This is giving a brief description of how we've been successful in keeping the 14-15 budget on the downward cycle because of the dynamics that are happening right now in the Clinton Township District and things that we've been working on for years and continuing as we go forward to plan for the future. Some things that have decreasing and some things that have helped us been successful in keeping this budget not only under cap but substantially less than where we potentially could be. Benefits are decreasing. The reason benefits are decreasing is if you remember, Governor Christie implemented as part of a retroactive law that all staff members will begin to contribute towards their medical benefits. So this is, the upcoming school year is year four of that process. So the staff members are contributing more. So theoretically, the district will look as if we're showing a savings there. Our benefits lines will decrease. In addition to that, we were successful this year in going out and marketing our prescription plan. What that meant is we were able to be more competitive on the market. We were able to offer an equal to or better plan that not only was a savings for the district, but as all staff members continue to contribute, usually it's a percentage based on their salary, their contributions is less here as well. So those two things coupled has been able, you'll see kind of a declining in our benefit lines. Utilities, the reason they're decreasing for 14-15, if we just look at the 13-14 compared to 14-15, 13-14, as we all know, is kind of an anomaly, we hope. With the weather and the cold and all of the snowstorms, we've actually experienced an increase in our utilities, as well as extraordinary maintenance costs for snow plowing and those types of things. We are hoping that that does not continue, so we're projecting a more natural trend for those things. So that has gone down in this budget. So compared to the 13-14 revised budget, you will see decreases. Staffing, as Dr. Clark discussed, due to declining enrollment, we will see declining sections of some of our grade levels. I know the board has been real conscious in trying to make that happen as easily as possible in terms of going through normal attrition and people retiring and those types of things. That's obviously our first goal. But as Dr. Clark stated, this is because of staffing decreasing and unfunded mandates. That's kind of where our trend is going. Capital outlay. This is what I call Fund 12. It rolls into Fund 10. I know I talk about all these funds. It doesn't make any sense. Basically, it's part of our operating budget. This is where we put capital improvements, if you will. So any asset greater than $2,000, we have to put it into a capital outlay account. That includes a lot of wiring and wireless access points that we were required to use to do for park. In these lines, you'll also see money budgeted for the wastewater treatment plant improvements. So those are the things that are increasing year over year due to these extraordinary circumstances. Professional development for 14-15, you will see that it's actually down a little bit year over year. However, it's up substantially from other years because of all of these unfunded mandates. We've required a lot more professional development. We've required much more administrative training for things such as the teacher evaluation system, as well as a lot of other curricular mandates with the new core mandates. So a lot of those things are continuing to be higher, as Dr. Clark said, because they're not just once and done. They're in the budget now, ongoing, as long as those mandates are in place. So they will continue to increase. So these are the really large things, if you will, that impacted our budget. Whether it's up or down, these are the things that really have the biggest swing to be able to explain how we've been able to stay in line for over the last 3 years. This slide, I apologize, it's a lot smaller than I thought. I get cheat sheets. This is an update of where our state aid numbers are. This is the money that we get from the state of New Jersey compared to what we received last year from the state of New Jersey. Very quickly, overall, pretty much everything stayed constant. There wasn't really an impact at all. You will see red numbers next to school choice. The reason school choice aid went down is because we went from 112 students to 99. They fund us on a per pupil cost. So because we are projecting reduced enrollment, as Dr. Clark explained, based on what positions or what seats we have available in our classrooms, the state aid goes down. However, it was a really great trick because Governor Christie promised that no one would receive reduced aid this year. So what he did, if you go down a little bit further, the last line is adjustment aid. You notice that's the exact same number. So he held us harmless. So that's why that hasn't changed. Special education aid is exactly the same year over year. Security aid is the same. Park readiness aid, that $14,050 that Dr. Clark was talking about, that's to fund our park initiatives. And they also gave us a per pupil growth aid. Honestly, I'm not really sure what that is, but we're taking it. So year over year, we've received an increase of $28,100.
If you're having trouble reading some of this and you want to go back and look at it, we'll post this presentation tomorrow so you can go on the website and go through it again. And what would help is if you go back to the last two presentations, because we can start from the beginning with Budget 101 and the workshop, it takes you right through and you can see the sequence and it explains some other items along the way where it really clarifies everything.
In addition to that, once we are able to submit our preliminary budget to the county office, once they have gone through their process and approved our budget to go before the public hearing at the end of April, we will get what's called a user-friendly budget that I can then print out. The software doesn't allow me to print that out until after we get county office approval. Once we're able to get that, that also will be posted on the website. So all of these things will kind of all come together in the lines and in the areas that we were talking about in more detail. This is a slide. This is the top section of the green sheet that you have in front of you. And basically what this slide is telling you, this is just a brief overview trying to help to understand how we calculate the tax levy. I'm sorry, the tax rate. What we do is we determine, in previous presentations, we talked about the way we come to the amount that's needed to be raised for the taxes, which is the tax levy. What we do is we determine what the state is going to give us in terms of support from the revenue side, if you will, and then we determine what other costs or what other revenue generators we have. For example, we have Lebanon Borough students here in 7th and 8th grade. They're here on a tuition basis. That counts as revenue to help offset our expenditures. We have preschool tuition, so that is also in there. Another thing that we do is we do facility use agreements with Work Family Connection and other groups that come in and use our facilities. So those are all revenues that are generated by the school district to help offset the expenditures in our general fund budget. So after we determine what revenues we have, we first determine what our needs are, and then when we determine what revenue sources we have, the difference that we need to make up is the tax levy. So the tax levy for this year is $50,000 higher than what we asked for last year. The goal of this Finance Committee and this Board of Education was to keep it flat. The reason we weren't able to keep it flat was the unexpected information we received from the engineer late in the game about the PMG water treatment plant, which is what Dr. Clark talked about earlier. We're anticipating an additional $50,000 expenditure. So what that means then is we need to raise $22,584.98 for the 14-15 school year. The second line is the debt service. What that is the referendum that was passed to build the new school, as well as additional renovations to the other schools. We have financed it. We have refinanced it, if you will, several times, so we've been able to keep this number under control. The $2.1 million is the amount that needs to be paid on that for principal and interest in the upcoming school year. So the total amount of money that we need to increase, or that we need to raise in tax levy, if you will, a piece of it general fund, a piece of it debt service, is $24,698,866. It's a 0.33% year-over-year increase. One thing that's interesting to note here, God bless you.
Thank you.
Is that the way the tax rate is calculated is you take your tax levy that you need to raise, and you divide it by the ratables. So that's the assessed values of homes and businesses in Clinton Township. One of the things that's been a little bit difficult to explain over the last several years is as your ratables go down, it appears that your tax rate is going up, even though the school doesn't need to be funded anymore. This year we were really, last year we lost about $70 million. This year we're down about $5.6 million, which is 0.26%. Okay? What this next slide is going to do is this basically takes the, it assumes that in 13-14 your home was valued at $100,000, just for simplicity's sake. For 14-15, it's assuming that that $100,000 home decreased 0.26%, which is the same amount that your ratables decreased in Clinton Township. So what that meant is your tax rate, or your tax assessment on 13-14 on $100,000 is $1,149.54. That same $100,000 reduced for the declining ratables is $1,153.33. A difference of $3.79. If you remember, that was the number we discussed earlier in the presentation. So for every $100,000 of home value, your taxes are going up $3.79 per year, or 0.33%. This is just actually spelled out what I just said. I apologize, I forgot that I made it bigger. So basically what this did is it decreased the ratables, and it talks about $3.79 per $100,000 of assessed value. For the average home of $394,000 in Clinton Township, it came out to $14.98 per year. What this slide is doing is talking a little bit about our cost per pupil and where how we compare to other I districts in our they call it our environment, in our enrollment group. We are compared, if you will, against Flemington, Raritan, Reddington, Branchburg, and Warren Township. Those are other I districts that have 750 students or more. So that's how this data is, just so you kind of have a comparison of where we are with other like districts. What this slide is, in the state of New Jersey, there are 88 total I districts with 750 or more students. So we're one of 88 in a group, if you will. This is just a sampling of ones that, as Clinton Township residents, you would probably be familiar with. So the first section, if you will, is revenue sources. We talked about that. We talked about what piece comes from state aid, what piece comes from local sources. We talked about tuition. We talked about interest. We talked about those things. What piece comes from the federal government? That's something that we didn't go into great detail about, although we have in previous descriptions. That's what I call Fund 20. Here I go with my funds again. Those are grant monies for our IDEA or NCLB, and what that money does is we cannot spend more than we get. So really, it's not an important number in the overall budget because it's not a cost to the taxpayers. If we don't get the money, you just don't implement those programs. The next is tuition. That's what we talked about. We have the 7th and 8th graders from Lebanon Borough, as well as preschool tuition. And then use of fund balance. I talked about budgeting excess surplus from the previous year. That's fund balance that we use in the next year's budget to help offset the tax. So currently, Clinton Township receives 14.1% of their total revenues from the state. If you look, you know, we're a little bit on the high side. Flem-Raritan gets 15.7%. Branchburg's as low as 10.6% of their total budgetary revenues. Local taxes, we are, again, not as high as many of them, but a large percentage of our budget comes from the local taxpayer. 78.5%, I just want to verify, these numbers are from the, I call it the taxpayer spending guide. What did they used to call it? It is online. It is something you can drill down on the Department of Education's website. Unfortunately, the most recent information that it has is 2013. 2014 numbers will not come out. They used to come out right around March. I think they're saying now they won't be out until the summer. So these are, I know they seem old, but these are the best numbers we have for comparative reasons. The federal, which is our Fund 20, we get about 1.9%. Again, if we don't receive that money, it doesn't impact Fund 10. It just means we don't implement the programs. We actually have a higher number in our tuition category because we do take those 7th and 8th graders on a send-receive basis from Lebanon Borough. So that is counted as a tuition cost. And then use of our fund balance, we again are a little bit higher or the highest out of our other districts in our group because we do manage our fund balance and we do use it for tax relief in those years that we don't necessarily need to maintain it in our budget. The second piece of that slide talks about certificated staff. I'm sorry, there is one more category. It's other. That's the facilities use revenues. That's capital interest, those types of things. It's a very small number, as you can see, and it's that way for everyone else. It fluctuates quite a bit. The next side of the slide is the certificated staff and where our enrollment measures up in terms of staff per pupil. So if you look at this, in terms of our student-teacher ratio, it's relatively low in the overall picture. And that's what we've been talking about tonight. We've been talking about declining enrollment and how we're managing that. So you can see it began probably in 12-13, and it's probably all the way it's coming through to fruition at this point. So our ratios are actually a little bit low compared to the others in our group. Student-to-support ratio. Our number is really low. And what that means is we have a large amount of our support staff is your child study teams, your guidance people, your nurse, those types of things that are outside the academic classroom. So we have low numbers there as well as if you look compared to the others. Again, that has a lot to do with declining enrollment. And then the student to administrative ratio. They are a little bit more in line in terms of our other sending districts, but they are still, at this point, at least in 12-13, a little bit low. The final column is giving our percentage of classified students compared to the total overall enrollment. In 12-13, the number was 4.4% of our student population were classified students. As compared to others, we're a little bit on the high side, but that's really not a super good number to look at in terms of how we're doing. That's just the way the district is at this particular snapshot in time. What this slide is doing is it's comparing how our cost per pupils compare to the state median and the state average. So this is a snapshot of where we compare to those other 88 I districts in New Jersey. I districts with 750 students or more. So the state median for the 12-13 school year, again, this is where this information is, and you can kind of see where we're trending. It looked like we had quite a blip in 11-12. I'm not sure exactly why, but it looks like our cost per pupil was quite a bit higher than what the state median was. Not such a huge difference over the state average. Again, that's one of the things that the state does. It kind of compares you to median versus the average. Those are different numbers, and they're not always, they don't always demonstrate what the actual, how we really fit in. For 12-13, you can see that the state median is 13,998. Our average, our budgeted cost per pupil is 14,043. We are ranked of those 88 school districts. If you see the number on the side, we're 52 out of 88. Whereas in 11-12, we were 78. So we were really on the higher side, if you will, within our total factor group and our enrollment population. So we are trending in a really good trend. We want to maintain a lower end of that as best we can. Of course, you don't want to, you know, you have to do what's best for the needs of the students here and the district needs here, too. So it's very difficult to compare to the state average, but this is kind of where we fit in, even compared to our other groups within our area. Dr. Clark, I think, is going to take over from here.
So what is not in the current budget? This is a lean budget. It is very lean, and it basically gets us what we need. Not everything that we want. There is no full-day kindergarten in this budget. We need a maintenance truck. We're going to make that work for another year. At Spruce Run, we'd like to do some playground improvements, and right now we don't have that in the budget. I would say to you that when you look at this list, it's really a list of future planning. When you put a budget together, you know, you want to do everything. It's just like our homes, you know. We want to fix everything and get it all done. And you really can't do it all in 1 year or 2 year or sometimes three or four. Sometimes it takes 5 years to map it out, to get everything done that you want to get done. So we have a number of things. We were looking at additional full-time secretaries in our buildings. We're not doing that this year. We'd like to do some drainage work and lighting at CTMS. We don't have that in the budget. And there is, we have a long-range facilities plan, and there are a number of other improvement projects that are in that long-term planning, but they're not on our list for this budget tonight. And I did put some examples, things like, you know, field maintenance. There's a kind of dilapidated sign at Round Valley that we'd all love to improve. Their boathouse, there's supposed to be a sidewalk we're supposed to put in there. There's a number of energy projects that we'd like to get done in the future. And one of the things that I would like to note in this budget that is a consideration is that none of our district association contracts are settled at this time. And, you know, we would much prefer they were, but they're not, and so we have to deal with that and make some judgments in our budget for that. So, we're at questions. So, members of the Board of Education, I turn it over to you.
Does anyone on the board have any questions for Dr. Clark or Mrs. Spitzer on the budget?
We went over the 30 minutes.
Can I press stop?
I'm sorry?
Can I press stop?
Yes. Let's see, you were... Dr. Clark and Ms. Spitzer, on behalf of the Board of Education, I'd like to thank you for all your hard work and dedication to developing a budget that helps us meet our two goals that the board set out in January. And the two goals were to focus on supplying our children with the highest level of academics that we can provide to our children in our community. And in addition, while trying to do that, to do it fiscally responsible with taxpayers' money. We know it took a lot of blood, sweat, and tears and a lot of effort. We want to thank you for all your work that you put towards this budget.
I just, you know, would like to make sure I say to the board, I'm going to repeat this again, but it's a really lean budget. And Mrs. Spitzer and I, you know, we always worry about that because something could happen. This year was a very interesting year. We had to spend money on a lot of things that we did not anticipate and had to move some things around that we wanted to do and couldn't quite do because, you know, with the cold, there were things like heating units that didn't do so well in this cold weather and the wastewater treatment plant and the enormous amount of snow shoveling and snow removal that we needed to provide and actually get rid of snow so that we could park teachers' cars in the lots, which was very challenging that we really haven't experienced in a long time and was, frankly, more expensive than any of us anticipated. You know, this budget is going to be tight, but I think it meets what the board was looking to do.
I'd like to add some comments on top of what Dr. Clark just said. This budget is very, very lean, and that was something that the board really wanted to make sure that we did. And many of the board members who were present at the workshop that we had last week also articulated and used the word lean as well. I do want to say that over the course of the last several years, the board has provided budgets that have been very lean. And I'm confident that the board will continue to do that in the future. But with that said, I want to mention a few harsh realities that will really challenge the board next year as we and they try to create a lean budget for 15-16. We have to figure out how to manage the following things that are coming down the pike. The first one is the continued unfunded mandates that are passed down from Trent to us. We're still working to manage those and fund those without help from the state. We're not quite sure what will come down to us over the course of the next year. So we need to be able to work to deal with those in a very economical way. We also have to figure out how to plan and implement a short-term and long-term facilities plan because our facilities are very old and are now requiring some major renovations. These renovations are also as a result of us having very lean budgets over the course of many years. So now we have to really start to address those. We also have to figure out how to manage a potential state mandate of full-day kindergarten, which is looming, and whether the board will agree in the future to implement a full-day kindergarten program or the state has us implement a full-day kindergarten program. We have to figure out how to afford to do that and provide a great program for our students.
One of the things I want to say about that is that Clinton Township is going to be one of the only school districts in the county that does not have a full-day kindergarten program. And I say that not to say we should do it because everybody else is doing it, but the trend is moving in this direction because of the changes in the core content standards. and the demands for the students that are coming and we're beginning to experience. A half-day program does not really meet those needs and will not. And as we start to look at, I think, future statistics, I don't think you see it this year. It's not like I can put something up on the screen and you can say, wow, our kids are missing out right now, all right, based on these numbers. I do think as we move through the Common Core changes, you will see that for the future. And I think that as a board, we're going to have to make up our mind about that and take a stand. And I think it's going to have to be sooner rather than later.
I agree. The other thing that the board is going to have to embrace and figure out how to implement in a future budget is how to meet the needs required to continue the adoption and implementation of the new Common Core and the associated costs of the PARC testing. Next year's budget, the district will need to address many of these items and many that will come down the pike that we're unaware of at the moment. And developing next year's budget will be a bit of a challenge for all of us. Do any board members have any comments they'd like to add at this point?
Yeah, I think there's some things we need to be very aware of. I hear that there's mixed results on full-day kindergarten, yay or nay. A lot of rhetoric on that. It's clear that the state direction is that we're going to move towards full-day kindergarten. If that's the case, we're probably going to have to do that in September of next year, which would be the 15-16 school year. If I understand the impacts of full-day kindergarten properly, the impacts to the budget would put us over, possibly over, the 2% cap. If that occurs, and that seems very likely that it would, that means the budget has to go to the public for a vote. And in this area here, we've not been that successful at convincing the citizenry to vote for our budgets. So if we were to move in that direction, which seems very likely, we need to start some type of a information session process now to gain the public's confidence, understanding, and support so that we do get to that stage where the public's supportive of moving in that direction.
Agreed. Anyone else? Okay, moving on. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 167 limits comments to 3 minutes. We will adhere to this bylaw to allow everyone to be heard in a very fair, consistent, and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic unless all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you would like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section on agenda items only to 25 minutes.
Hello, my name is Alison Ford of 7 Oakridge Road in Annandale. As an accountant, I love the fact that this budget is lean. It's one of my favorite words throughout all my years of working. But it also means that I see that there is an expansion to include some things that I think are very important. So for the following budget year, the four-day kindergarten program is something that is very important to me as I have preschoolers moving into it. I have spoken to many parents and I have seen of over 100 people who really do want this in the Clinton Township community. I am a firm believer that children learn more in a fun environment. They love playing, and through play, they learn. The current half-day curriculum is very academic in order to meet the state's educational requirements. A four-day program will allow play, the inclusion of arts and sciences, and give our children a well-rounded, academic, and fun education. As such, a four-day program will allow our children to learn in an appropriate manner, and importantly, introduce the concept of a four-day prior to them moving to the first grade, at which point the academics become more important. I would like my children and the other children in the district to have the same opportunities for learning that I had when I was young. I remember the science projects even to this day, and I'm moving on in years now, my memory's fading, but I still remember the fun things that happened during my classes. So what I would say to the board, I would really like you to reconsider the budget for where we stand.
I just thought I'd add some music to it.
That's okay. I could do a little dance, but it wasn't Irish. So I'd like the board to actually seriously consider... You're eating it in 3 minutes. I hope you realise.
Sorry. I'm very sorry.
That's okay.
What's it doing now?
I don't know, but it's going to get launched across the room.
So I would actually like the board to really seriously consider evaluating the budget with the inclusion for funds that to fund the full-day kindergarten program starting September of this year and not leave it any longer.
Thank you.
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I understand and appreciate that a significant amount of time and effort went into creating the upcoming school year's budget. I am asking, however, that you vote no on the budget tonight. I understand this is a preliminary vote, but I think that by voting yes to this budget that does not include a full-day kindergarten, you are communicating to parents, teachers, and community members that you have no intention to offer full-day kindergarten next year. We have yet to hear a report from the ad hoc committee, a committee that took almost 2 years to create since a presentation on full-day kindergarten by Mrs. Goad in December of 2011. Parents are looking for an answer about full-day kindergarten. The status of the possibility of full-day kindergarten has been too uncertain for too long. I understand that this issue is not as simple as a yes or a no, but I don't think money should be the only thing holding this up. With the low enrollment trend that seems to be happening, it seems now would be a great time to capitalize on introducing full-day kindergarten. The Common Core is not changing if kindergarten becomes full-day for us. Full-day kindergarten will allow more time to work with the new standards that are in place. For me, I feel that, you know, if I asked two people to build a house, and I gave one of them half a day and I gave one of them a full day, I mean, which house would you want? Which one would have the better craftsmanship? You know, you're laying a foundation for these kids that is literally the foundation of so many important things that they need to know, and it will carry them and to the rest of the grades, to where maybe we might not need so much basic support because they've already gotten it. But again, it's the new standards that are, you know, they need more time with. While I agree there is never really enough time to learn everything, we would at least be giving them a better chance to grasp these concepts. We may not see a difference this year or next, but I believe that with the introduction of PARC testing in the coming years, we will notice a difference in our standings in comparisons to our district factor group. I totally wrote that before you said that. I often hear that we need more time to spend on learning how to use these technologies that they will need to take this test. Here is one place that we can add on and help build upon that without taking away from important class time with academics in the older years. While I understand you can still change the budget, if you vote yes tonight, the window for which you will be able to will just be getting smaller and smaller. I urge you to consider the lasting implications of your preliminary vote tonight.
See, don't you want to call it the final
yes,
vote, too?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Brennan.
Good evening. John Sowers, 31 Upton Pine Road in Lebanon. I have twins that are currently attending Spruce Run School pre-K program for the past 2+ years, and we've seen them do phenomenally in the program. They'll be entering kindergarten next year. When I took the survey, I voted yes for them going all day, you know, to a full day program, because I thought that having been in a half day program for 2+ years, I thought they were just at the point where they were ready. Once I found out what the curriculum was going to be, I recognized that curriculum is important, but as Mrs. Ford pointed out, there's also non-curriculum items that are equally as important, if not more important, than curriculum items. So I would like to see the board vote for a full-day program. That was one of the reasons why we moved to Clinton Township, is because of the reputation of the board and the district as a blue ribbon district. I would like to see the board and the district stay on top of this and get out in front of it and embrace a full-day program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stop.
Hi, Rosie Sudo, 8 Dartmouth Road in Annandale.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
I just really want to reiterate.
Ma'am, I'm sorry. Can you restate your name, please?
Rosie Sudo.
Thank you.
S-U-D-O-L. I just wanted to reiterate what people have said previously, especially in regards to the fact that a lot of us have been interested in the full-day kindergarten program for a while now and had come out 2 years ago for the board meetings and had understood that there was an ad hoc committee and had heard about the survey, but really nothing else. And so to be at this point and to hear that the full-day kindergarten program is going to be put off again until next year is just very disappointing.
Thank you.
Hi, Jessica Hopkinson, Tushar Way, Annandale. I just want to reiterate what has been said thus far on full-day kindergarten and just highlight a couple of things that were said tonight by all of you, which was the goal here is the highest level of academics for our children. And by not implementing full-day kindergarten this year, I really think you're doing a disservice to our children. I was here as well as the others 2 years ago when my daughter was going into kindergarten, when I really felt that the community was in support of full-day kindergarten and it was dismissed. And then we have an ad hoc survey, again, no communication about what those results were. Why? I mean, what is the end game here? If the end game is for the best academics for our children, I really think you have to think about, I'm not an educator, so I will just say that. So if I misuse words, I apologize. But with the Common Core and us having half-day kindergarten, we're really putting our children at a disadvantage. And I, too, moved here for the Blue Ribbon School District because I wanted my children to have the best education. And I really think focusing on lean is really great. It really is great. But you also have to balance that with what's best for our children. And I really think that, and request that you think about voting no on this preliminary budget to give the full-day kindergarten the thought that it deserves for our children.
Thank you.